morning, honorable members. Should have in your team. I think we should start with our business for today. We have only two items. That is a briefing by the Defence Works Commission and the quarterly reports by the department as the adopted program. Maybe what we should do, we must start with the Defence Works Commission, because I reckon the presentation will not be that long, and then we'll go into the quarterly reports of the department. Defence Works Commission, are you in? Thank you very much, General.
Thank you very much. We have that General Mugira, the Chief of Logistics, as well as General Iguala, the Chief of Defence Works Formation. I think we have circulated the presentation to honorable members, have a copy of the. We had thought that for the sake of time, we will not go into details reading the presentation, but on each and every slide, I'll ask General Mugira just to highlight the key issues that are coming out from each and every slide. I don't know whether technology-wise, were we able to connect to the, or we'll just, maybe we'll just go with what is hard copy distribution rather than try to put it on the board. Honorable Chairperson, if it's okay with you, I will then ask General Mugira to take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Well, we will not allow the technology to bog us down. We've got hard copies. If the technology is there, it will be nice to have technology. This is the easiest way. But if it's not up to standard, let us do through our hard copies.
Thank you very much, Chair, as a guest. The team from the logistics division with the General Dwaba was going to do the presentation as instructed. I think the people has also been included. It's just to come and confirm the decision is not taken by Parliament to establish this commission. Get an understanding of upgrading the facilities of our soldiers, and we're indeed going to indicate that. Indicating that from our presentation, and to indicate that it was not a mistake for that decision to have been taken, to ensure that we got this arm that is going to do that work on our behalf. I must say that it was that intention of addressing the same time that milestone one in the defense review for that the design of our facilities. But in that, quickly one needs to point out in the process of learning to General Legrand to say we also need. Resources in terms of human resources as well as finances for this defense work to be able to provide as expected. Thank you very much. Thank you.
When you look at the presentation, first of all, I would like to acknowledge the visit. This was done by the committee to us in Pretoria. On one side, I would like to say that it has given a lot of morale to our people. They are really eager to perform even better. But again, if you look at what that has helped us with also, or additional help which we have got from you, is when you send the team to come and do an in-depth study on what we are doing, and I think that that team can be able to report back or has already reported back to you. Now, coming to the issues of the defense transformation, I think we all know that we are faced with a challenge of facilities which are not up to standard, and in many instances we are forced to outsource
or is it to go out on the two more facilities, abandoning our facilities which could have been seized. The second thing is the challenge of what we call Terra Plateau soldiers, and if the honorable members would like to engage on that one. The first few slides which are addressing the context. They're actually addressing who is this Terra Plateau soldier. Because we want that when we are addressing these issues, it must be seen that we are taking one problem to resolve the other problem. It means facility problem, resolving it with problem of soldiers who are otherwise underutilized because of the advanced age which they are in the defense force, and therefore they are no longer flexible, agile, to be able to live up to the demand of the fighting soldiers. Now, let me take you to slide number 10, where we say that what is our competency in terms of addressing these problems which we are facing. We've got what you call the basic level maintenance, which is when you look at the built environment. And this, we argue, it is the area where we have bigger problems in the system. Because a small leaking roof, it leads to a destruction of the entire facility. Because when it rains, the whole facility is destroyed. An open window can lead to a roof being taken off. So on, as you say. Now, the basic level maintenance, this is what we say that we would want to, we have built capacity, current capacity which we have built to address those issues. Basic level maintenance, which is non-complex, and it does not require engineers. We only need master artisans and artisans. The second level, that is the deeper level, it is where you require registered engineers to sign off work which has been done to avoid issues like if a building has been constructed or has been renovated, that it collapsed because certain engineering things were not looked at. Now, this includes maintenance and repair, demolition and construction of complex buildings requiring site clearances where we are doing construction, bulk service installation, traffic impact assessment, and many other investigations which require professional people, and including environmental consideration. Now, our in-house capability is designed to execute basic level maintenance and repair with limited assistance by engineers. However, deeper level maintenance and repair are outsourced to industry through the Department of Public Works, and that is on DMO properties. However, when it's going to come to on endowment properties, the minister has taken a decision that we must take over endowment property or a TROT, we are going to then be doing it ourselves, including outsourcing it ourselves. Now, I've already alluded to the dilemma which we have and the extent of our leasing portfolio. We are spending 450 million in the portfolio of leasing, and we want to reduce this to go back to our facilities. Now, what had the defense, the DOD done to intervene? I'm on slide number 12. What we have done is that the problem which is stated above, we have said that we are taking the soldiers who are in Terra Plateau, retrain them and reuse them. And on the other side, we oversee the function which is done by public works. We have not been very good at that, but we are improving because we have now established forums with public works to try and address the backlog of their work. In summary, on slide 13, you'll see that we say we are reskilling soldiers who risk Terra Plateau. We execute maintenance and repair projects, utilizing our own capability and own source projects, and then oversee management of projects which are done by public works, and then we are preparing ourselves to devolve the functions from public works. In the area of reskilling, I would like to show you that when you go to slide number 16, this is the area in which we are reskilling our people. Now, please, members need to take note, honorable members need to take note, that these are accredited training courses with FET. So when people finish our certificates, for example, N6, they are qualified and accredited. And I can already extend to say that some of our electricians, our plumbers, they can issue COC certificates, certificate of occupation, and they are accepted by the municipalities. Type number 17, I'm giving you the figures, the exact numbers of the people who have been trained. And on the left-hand side, it is the regional works unit, means that the unit which is working in the province, for example, regional works unit, Northern Cape, Northwest, Western Cape, and so on through to Limpopo. You'll see that Limpopo and Mpumalanga, we put them stroke together because Mpumalanga has just been established. It's not yet a fully fledged organization. We have trained 983 people, and the disciplines in which we have trained them, they are there, supervisors, project managers, bricklayers, electricians, and so on. Now, we are currently having 668 people who are undergoing training, and these people are going to be joining our workforce. The beauty of this is that, remember, in the artisanal, people do block program. So they would go to school for a certain period, but then we bring them in to do practicals. Now, what we are doing, we are doing practicals on our own facilities. But to be able to do that, the DOD has agreed to allow us to source in professionals, which was just the address that has gone out now, for engineers, registered engineers and quantity surveyors and other profession who are going to be assisting us as like executing this project so that they can be signed off by these professionals. Now, what have we done up to so far? I'll jump right number 20 because it repeats itself in the following slide. Suffice to say that we have on our own slide number 21 that we have completed so far 51 projects, and the test group, I think they have seen some of the projects and actually interrogated the people on the ground. We are planning to execute 75 this year. What of importance is the 1 million of the which honorable members have been there. That place, if you go today, it is like a landing strip. Very open. You recall that the building was, we had marked the walls when we were coming there that we are going to remove this wall, that wall, that wall. Now it is open and we are ready. We prepared the place for the contractor when they are coming on site, that they must go running. The value which we have added there is that we went to industry. Industry indicated some said 12 million, others 10, others 8. So taking the lowest cost from industry, we said, okay, let us do this thing. And when after doing it, we did it at 1 million, so saving 7 million of the defense budget. Now, how do we come to this number? We come to this number by saying that we have calculated the salaries of the people because the project was executed over 4 months. We have calculated the salaries, all the consumables, that is fuel and everything else, including any other additional material which we bought. And we found that we expended only 1 million when we were supposed to have outsourced it for 8 million. But what we found about is that we completed the task within 4 months, which is a record time. The consulting firm actually said to us that it is for the first time that they come across this kind of exercise. Slide number 22 indicates those completed projects which I've spoken about, and we have completed them at a value of 15.5 million. Number 23, it indicates the planned projects, which we estimate that by the end of this year, we should have spent about 49 million. I need to then come in here to say that one of the challenges which I'll be indicating later is that here, we are at the mercy of the ability to procure material. So later in the year would have to review this number if we are not making any success in terms of buying of material. That is one of our Achilles heel. Now, historically, public works, we are saying that we experience under expenditure on capital and refurbishment program executed by public works. That is still like that, but we have established working committees between ourselves and public works to really go down into the nitty-gritties of saying why do they fail to get to the projects. And we are beginning to sort out some of the things. Other things which we were impacting on public works is where, for example, we were being late to pay municipal services and so on. We have improved on that one, and we can assure you that we are now able to process their invoices in time and pay in time. But we also picked up that there are certain invoices which before we would just pay without questioning. Now we are able to query and say, this is not what we have, what we have utilized. And we have come to agreement with public works on that one. So I think that is another efficiency which we introduced into the system. Despite all this progress, there is still a lot of discussions between ourselves and public works. And I think the SECDEF has also called a meeting that we need to go and just refine some of the things at our level in order to be able to improve communication between ourselves and public works. Slide number 26, I think the honorable members, they will know that this, we have been saying that we have got the best user asset management plan. We know where our facilities are, we know their condition, and we also know how much will it cost in order to repair them. So we are able to therefore plan forward. Now, on slide number 27, I've already indicated this, but this is a discovery which also made that there are high fives which we were belonging to us, which were used by other people. Now we have retaken those high fives because they were used, it was because we did not know. So this is again the question of this user asset management plan, when we went and checked on all our facilities to say this belongs to us, this belongs to us. Of course, we also discovered that we are using other high size and we are not paying what we are supposed to be paying to the owners of the high size which we have corrected. So we have got very good monitoring processes. Now, we are now preparing to devolve endowment properties from the Department of Public Works. The project is under General Mugabe, is going very well. And one of the programs is we have taken the program of one military hospital, where we have said that we believe that we can be able to run any project, including the one which is outsourced. Now, our contribution was the milestone one of the defense review, RFA decline, can be summarized as follows. That is slide number 30, that we have executed and completed 51 projects as I've indicated, at a very low cost. And our involvement at the hospital has saved a lot of money, as we have indicated, 7 million. But of note is that by reskilling these soldiers who were underutilized and reusing their own facilities, we have increased their productivity. For them, they have benefited also by becoming now from ordinary soldiers to becoming technicians, which is a skill which they will retire with, and then they can utilize when they are reserved, either reserved or veterans. Now, the other aspect, which I think it is always very silent, is that, remember, the Kerala Plateau soldiers, when they are in the services are not able to utilize them productively. Now we have taken them, and having taken them, the services are now able to rejuvenate. Now, I need to say here, we would have to play with the committee that the Defence Reformation has to be funded to be able to take these people, because we are addressing two issues. One, we are making that soldiers become productive across throughout their lifespan, and the second thing, we are improving on our facilities. So that, I think, we need to request that the honourable members need to support us in. But like I said, upon retirement, these soldiers, they are able to then take care of themselves. In our exercise, we stumbled across one of the things in a scientific research on dolomite, and now we are having a dolomite expert internally, and we are expanding that one. I've indicated that we have appointed the professionals, and also now in the process of appointing the professionals, and like I said, they are going to be providing advice on all fields within the built environment, that is either structural, civil, mechanical, engineering, and geometrics, and also signing off of our projects. Now, honorable members, in conclusion, what are our challenges? I've indicated about the defense force formation. The current structure we are running on is a doctrinal structure. We have already compiled our structure, is ready, and I think it just requires to be funded so that we can be able to work to our full potential. Then the other aspect, it is the long lead time in procurement of material. Honorable members, I think when the research team visited us, we indicated to them that we would buy material, then instead of cement, sand and everything else coming, cement will come first, and then when cement expires, sand arrives. Then we must go back and buy cement. Because cement and paint, those things are just in time. We must buy them just in time. Otherwise, it is just a waste of resources. So, but Chief Logistics, I know that, is working on this, and he is trying to resolve the procurement issues, particularly for the built environment. So, honorable members, that is the situation with the defense transformation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, General. You're done.
Honorable Chairperson, yes, I think maybe what is crucial is that we are saying that our issue is to be understood that by training these people, at the same time, we'll be preparing this some of the people, because our problem, those people are with them for 15, 30 years. We'll be preparing them also. Some of them will exit as small business people. How are we going to do that? And I just want to demonstrate by utilizing, some of you may have the advert on Rotaruta, a plumbing initiative, where we would be saying in the plumbing environment, for example, we give the teams, plumbing teams, say a plumbing vehicle, and they go as a plumbing team. Then they respond to plumbing requirements. But then we then teach the business rules of saying, how do you run the business? Maybe what they mean, giving them paper money to say, go and teach this, go and teach that. And then we say, accounting needs to happen at the spot. Then we'll be able to evaluate them whether, if you were to release them into industry to go and do business, and they stand on their own. So in that way, we are making a contribution towards business development as well. But should those people then go out, we must find a mechanism of making sure that they get contracts to do our work. In any case, today as we speak, everything else is outsourcing, including the plant maintenance which I was talking about. Now, we want to say that we want to address that and change this thing so that these soldiers who are otherwise underutilized, they can also end up being business people who are able to then do or participate in the greater economy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Over to you, honorable members. Honorable Murray.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation. I just want to start off by saying two things. The first one is on the last comments. That is, I must remember, we must start with the basics. Go back to the basics. And it's very well to prepare someone for their life after military. But I think the challenge is currently in the defense force, or the defense force formation. So, and there's a lot of challenges. So your first priority must be to address that decline first. I want to say, first of all, just a question for clarity. That 8 million versus 1 million, where you say you've saved 7 million, and you say the 1 million included salaries, it depends on how you have worked, how you have utilized those human resources prior, and what they would have done otherwise. Because my opinion is that it's already part of the cost to actually save more than 7 million. Because I mean, otherwise, you know, they would have been, if they were being idle anyway, then there's a cost that you already had. So you've actually done more. You have saved more so you can actually generate more productivity for a wider group of the defense force. So that's a correct route to take. Then secondly, just on your primary, and you have two levels, the basic level and the deeper level of your work. Does that basic level also include things like fences and maintenance of grounds, things like that? Because one believes, and what I've seen when we were in Pretoria, in Kapuchane, is that, you know, fences were lying down. Even on the bases, there were poor maintenance of the ground. And I always say, you know, if you get to a house and you see how the little mat in front of the house looks like, it gives you a good impression of the inside of the house. And the backyard would look even worse. So when we drove into Sabotwana, it was like everything was lying down, all the grass was growing. So this is what the front door is looking like. I don't want to see the backyard. So if that's part of your priorities, I think that's a good thing. But maybe it's not part of your responsibility. And if you can elaborate just on that. Then, on security, we have heard over the last couple of months about breaches of security in the Karoo where they store the arms, and we've heard what has happened in Simonstown where ammunition has been stolen purely because of the breach of security. In the Karoo we have believed that was due to non-payment of the service provider. If you can elaborate on that and your focus in that regard. In terms of, you said that you need our support with regards to money needed. I mean, we know that when Milestone 1, we need 1.8 billion rand. And we know that at the budget, National Treasury said no. So, what is your business plan or strategic plan to assist us in convincing National Treasury or government at least that you need money and where it must come from? Because if some of that you have already provided for, we must see, you know, where will this money probably coming from? Because there must be a convincing process from our side, and you must empower us so that we can go out and say, you know, this is what we need to do. This is maybe comparing priorities and what, you know, because I do believe that we must go back to basics and start where you need to start, not start at the top and then working down. Build the foundation, and then you obviously can do a lot more going up. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think just a few questions that I would like to raise. One is, what happened to the cap set up by Vaughan Spring that was basically proposed to come under the Department of Military Vets, especially in the training of the military vets that have retired or have moved out of active service? And I see there is a relationship with Swanee College, but of course we do know in Western Cape that some of the soldiers have trained also at Northland College. I'm aware of the presence of the college as well. So there's supposed to be an agreement between all colleges and all the accredited courses and all those things, and I believe that is in place. The factor we're speaking about here is that people that can only operate at a certain level, and in terms also of qualification and experience, they are then moved out. The numbers that are moving out into the defense works formation, it's a small number compared to the MSDF graduates that are coming through. And that number has been also reduced more than half. We are looking at a much bigger number than 3,800. So the MSDS program of rejuvenating the force cannot be only using the defense works formation as an exit mechanism for people. What about also the other generals that are in excess? What about their skill? Because we're speaking about even engineers within the reserve force, people that are now not being used on a rotational basis, people that have fallen out of the system, but they're still reserves. So they are also complaining they don't have jobs, they don't have income, they don't stand by, they may get an opportunity, they may not. Some do get regular opportunities to get in there, and that is also questionable. So I'm saying the reserves have a number of engineers. Why can't the Defense Works Commission also link up with all those engineers within the reserves and put them to good use? Because you're lacking that, and there needs to be a logbook that needs to be signed off by a qualified person with the experience, with the qualification, in order for that to be accredited. So there's a worksite opportunity for engineers to work on and to approve the logbooks of the students that are learning at the college or at the in-house training facility. And of course, funding we know comes from government itself. Government and also with the CITES also raise money, because if you are training people in the different sectors in the CITES, there is actually bursaries available for learners. So those learnerships, are we getting actually money also from the CITES side? Because you've become now also a trainer, you also provide the worksite, the triangle that normally works. So do we actually exploit those opportunities to get more money? The other one is, if we are saving the department millions and millions of rands, then it's only reasonable that the business proposal should be put in place to say that our staff will increase in terms of that, because rejuvenation will take place, but others are working to are moving now to the defense works formation. They will be employed, but because the DOD is spending maybe 50 billion rand, or maybe for say maybe 50 million, but we save them, we then finish those projects for maybe 15 million. So there's a huge saving. So the amount of people that are being utilized, they're already being paid, but now if you have to move them out, can that be a sustainable project that funds itself as well as a business model? So it must not only be seen as saving money for the department, but must be sustainable in terms of employing people. Otherwise, the department say, we don't have space, we're moving in more people, we have to cut down on other staff. So this could be a business model where you actually generate more money or savings on money which can be used elsewhere in the system. So I think that that type of business model or something needs to be looked at, and how we can justify the sustainability of going into the future. I think the other one which we don't have understanding is, we've just had a few issues that were raised by Defense Works Formation in the challenges they have. One of it is the procurement issue, but I believe it should be an assessment, because it's a new department, even the language has changed a bit of soldiers, speaking about the built environment, they speak about, you know, occupational skills and a different approach to things, and they're now being adapted to a new environment with challenges. They don't have all the skills. So there's a number of challenges at EFAT. Now, it's important for us to be able to know what is actually the problems at each site, each project, each province. There are different people, different qualifications, different sets of experiences. So there will be different problems. So we can just have a matrix of the issues on projects, so that we can actually say, where are the key issues that one has to intervene, or that needs to be funded to overcome those challenges within specific areas. So that would be a far more better insight into all the projects and the challenges for the projects. The other one I'd like to raise also is the issue of the exit mechanism. I think it's high time the department must make decisions. We are facing challenges all the time, and the age of soldiers are increasing all the time. And there needs to be some political will or some creative thinking to make this really work in the defense force. We have delayed this for years and for years and for years, and the problem is only growing, it's not becoming smaller. So I think the department needs to be much more creative and innovative, whether it's in the reserve side, whether it is now with our military veteran side. The military veterans will also be a challenge. They are now also able to perform actually business entities. They can register their business, they can apply, and they get also preferential treatment to get contracts within the defense and military veterans to also maintain and do work and do contracts. So there's that challenge of the internal operations of Defence Works formation, and also those that have exited and formed their own companies, expecting that they will be used as outsourced contractors to actually do work. So there's a number of issues that we have to contend with to make things actually work. Otherwise, people are saying you're forming something with people in the force that are underutilized. Now you're expecting us to go out, we form the companies, we got to extra training. How do you accommodate us in the process? So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kamede, Honorable Kosa Yunfolo.
Thanks, sir. Thanks for the presentation, and let me appreciate that on page 3, General, that page remains restricted because I'm not part of the photo. the first issue is, for years I've been defeated on this point, but I'll continue pushing it until I win everybody. The Defence Force is not a temporary structure, it's a permanent structure. Any government would have defence. So the issue of leasing property doesn't carry any weight, no matter from which angle you come from. So defence will always be there. And they could save on this 450 or 2 million that we use for leasing. So I think, in fact, they've raised this issue. This we need to prioritize. We've got our own property as defence. This must be priority number one, that we have our own properties. You can even build more properties and actually lease them and make more money because of the properties that we have. We can turn the situation around. Secondly, something needs to be done, General, about the executions of Department of Public Works, you know, so that they do not delay the process. I don't know what discussions are there, but we need to shorten the process. We need to cut the middleman. Public Works is the major middleman, but we need to find a way of cutting the middleman so that we can work more efficiently and more faster. And linked to that, how far is the process that was reported of handing over the endowment property to the DOT? And even in future, if you could send us the report that these are the properties now that have been handed over to the department and the plan moving forward about these properties. And secondly, also send to us, now that the system you said, also you've got, you know the facilities, you know the register now. I remember at one stage the sector did talk about certain properties. I once heard that you even have grand properties here in Cape Town, every department, just here at the beach. The same thing happens in Durban. You have a property that is just over here. And at the same time, we cannot track poverty. So we need to change and say, how can we utilize these properties so that they benefit the department? So you can send to the community the list of properties that are there in future so that we know and we could get some suggestions of what can be done. The other issue of the procurement of material for built environment, those are the other point that I've raised, that you need to shorten that. You cannot rely on public works, which is not their core function, to buy you cement or what do you call this, when you put on the ceiling when it's leaking. It's too much a process. I'm sure the Department of Public will talk, they must demandate hand over certain powers so that the department is able to do its work. Finally, the issue of funding. I'm sure we'll have to take this to the sector. The formation is a good mechanism for exit of soldiers, and they keep them busy. But for it to be sustainable, it needs appropriate funding. You know, there are people who exit So if the community needs to do something, so that we also prioritize this issue, so that we don't lose this project of defense formation, I think we need to get some more money to fund it. The other question, I'll do on a follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you, Chair. I see the department is trying by all means to convince us that no matter what it is, they're trying, which is good. So, but since they're able to establish working committees with the departments like Public Works, as Honorable Commander made has said, you know, Public Works sometimes is dependent on delaying things, and sometimes it stalls a lot of things in departments that is that the department is trying to work with. I'm not trying to discourage the working committee. Let them try whether for that particular time that working committee is necessary for to be with Department of Work. There are other institutions where you really need to have those working committees to be able to speed up the processes. Because I'm afraid the working committee sometimes it's like you're delegating powers to certain people, and when you're supposed to do that particular work, you want that person to do that particular work, and the program is stalled. And also, your reserves, you see, let's say you set up a committee in their reserves. It's simple. That particular committee in the reserves is to make sure that reserves are being taken care of rather than other people that are coming in, overlooking them, overtaking them, taking over them. When you set the committees, first establish whether that committee, or give it a time frame that committee is going to be there for this particular job, for this particular time, and see if it works. Then if it works, then we need to go with it and look at other institutions that we're working with and establish those working committees so that we'll be able to continue with the issues of developing each other. Thank you.
Thank you. Over to you, Shanava. So Jeff is up first.
Thank you very much, honorable members, Chairperson. I will just go through all the questions and then without necessarily answering them, but delegating them for response by the team. We have noted that honorable members also made recommendations how to improve our work in the defense work formation. So those recommendations that have been made will be noted and will be implemented in the process. So I was maybe just concur with Honorable Murray that it is true that the savings that we do, that we accrue through the Defense Works Commission might actually be more than the figures that we are showing, because if there was no Defense Works Commission, these soldiers would have been idling somewhere maybe in the military barracks. But now that we have Defense Works Commission, they are coming forward, they are being utilized, so that the salaries that we paid now, we get something out of it. Before, we would not be able to get anything out of the salaries that we continue to pay if they were idle. And that I will then let General Lugaba just highlight in terms of what are we doing to have Defense Works Formation or other formations of the Department of Defense participate in cleaning the ground. I think the Minister and I, we always, like Honorable Murray, complain about this. When you visit Tabswane, you find the grass has grown all over the place, the gardens are not taken care of, and the fence is falling apart. I mean, some of those things, they really don't need consultants or service providers. Us as soldiers can be doing this. Interestingly, is that with the program to some that we have for the repairs of vehicles, well, it's being done now, internally rather than being outsourced to the defense industry for levels 1 and 2 of vehicle repairs. The Cuban soldiers are very firm on that, to say, yes, in this warehouse or repairing vehicles, but look at the grounds, look at your gardens, look at your grass. You can't say that the soldiers are just here to repair the vehicles. You must go out and cut the grass. I think we fully agree on that, but General Graber maybe will respond to that. On the breaches of security, thefts, and ammunition, General Madira maybe. But I think I was ready to note to say that yes, action is being taken. The Chief of the South African Self Defense Force is very firm on that, getting the military police involved. And as you know, people have been arrested, have been handed over to the police. Investigations are going on. Others have been administratively discharged while the legal processes are taking place. The issue of the budgeting, especially if we indicate for milestone one that we are requesting 1 billion rands, but 1.8 billion because we are having challenges. What are we doing to assist the portfolio committee and parliament and to make this case? I think we are slowly, I was just mentioning to the leadership in the Department of Defense that I think we're slowly making progress. National Treasury now is taking our plea for defense review funding seriously. And they have requested us now to say, let's come back to them and indicate the deployment commitments that are suffering because of the limited budget, because of the continued decline of the capabilities of the South African National Defense Force. And this we highlighted both in terms of border safeguarding, maritime security, as well as peacekeeping operations. And we are now in the process with the CFO and the South African Defense Force Chiefs of Services, finalizing those figures. I mean, how embarrassing was it when we had the Chinese ships just raiding our coastal lines and our economic exclusive zones and fishing, and the Navy when the ship trying to control it, and then they just drive around and then come back and park again in East London, because we know that in East London there is a gap in terms of the patrols by our Navy. That can be said not just for maritime security support of operation practice, but also for the porous borders that we've all been talking about, of illegal immigrants crossing over from neighboring countries without us being able to respond effectively. So we are now documenting these challenges effectively and costing them, to highlight, to make it possible for the National Treasury. I think, Honourable Chairperson, it is fair to say that the National Treasury is listening. And whether as an accounting officer, I also have to wear that government head, the civil servant's head, to say, responsible for the budget, it's true that if you look at other constraints in terms of you hear other DGs saying in health, anybody now who tests positive must be treated. Test and treat. And how much test positive HIV, and how much is that going to cost this country? Because that's what the World Health Organization is saying, test and treat. Where is it going to come from? If you listen to the students about the school fees and the fees must not be increased. So you sort of, when I say this to my colleagues and the team, they say, no, this school is now a taker now. That it is selling out now, it's becoming to top at pleasure. I'm just saying that the challenge is there. And what we're saying is exactly what the Honorable Kanade is saying, that knowing the country's challenges,
please give us an opportunity to generate the revenues through process and save and save costs and save money for the department through programs like defense works formation, through programs like defense and government properties. And when engaged with Treasury there, we hit the stone now where they say, yeah, now you can go and raise money, but we must go to fiscals. You have no right to keep it according to the TFMA. So I would say, please help us get National Treasury to allocate funds that generated through defense, through the leveraging of defense assets. Let's just say funds generated through the defense assets, leveraging of defense assets, must be allocated and ring-fenced to defense. At least that will be a starting point for us. And then, of course, to arrest the decline of the capabilities of the defense force, we are putting the figures, let them engage us. I'm told that the cabinet and ministers committee on budget is meeting maybe on the 15th of October, and that the pressures that the defense work, the total defense is facing should be prioritized, just like all the pressures that we're facing. One thing they must be prioritized, and the others of health and education must not be prioritized, but let it be now elevated to the same level as health and education. I think that Honorable Murray was asking what can be done, that's what I would ask the portfolio committee to do in assisting us in that regard. Maybe, General Gaba, you can talk about the Center for Advanced Training and the its utilization by the military veterans in terms of what is logistics division doing about it. Yes, we do have agreements with various technology universities, technicons, as we used to call them, whereby we can cooperate, assign some agreements where we cooperate both for the defense works formation, mm-hmm. but also for the other training. As you can imagine, we also train doctors, nurses, and paramedics, so it means I have to enter into agreements with the University of Pretoria and others for medical training. So we're using the same principle in terms of the Department of Defense. But actually, talks to a different person, Honorable MRA, in terms of really when, how does the country look at the Department of Defense? Department of Defense is not just a money-spending department. It's also a value-add department. In terms of training, I was just saying, as we were talking privately, that one has spent some time in the U.S., you know, you see them advertising that in the U.S. Army, you can be whatever what you want to be and actually generate these skills, this development, and then leash them out to the society. If you look at the captain's industries and so forth, so whether it's those people will tell you that we were in the Army, and that's where we got our leadership skills, our discipline, our commitments, and our patriotism and everything, to fight for our country and defend our country, but also to build the economy of our country. Department of Defense, it's not just a money spending. I think we have allowed it, maybe because of the legacy of the past, to be seen as a money spending. It's also a money generator. When we say to you we spend about $700 million a year on research and development with various research departments like CSIRs and so forth, and that were the technologies that we're building is now prime, well sought after technologies, even by the U.S. When you look at the NCC's report in terms of the export, defense industry export, who is the biggest buyer of our defense industry product? It's the United States. Why would the United States be the biggest buyer of South African defense outputs? Because they've seen technology, especially in electronic warfare, something that we don't even talk about. How many jobs have been created by our defense industry? I know that I'm deviating, but forgive me, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Marere started that page. It's just that we should be seen as not just as a consumer department. We're not a consumer department. We are a productive department. We are a job creation department. And yes, we accept the proposals that are being put forward, but we can do more in terms of creating jobs as a department. And we do have agreement even on the local industry. We have said with Northwestern, I don't know whether we presented it, we might have, in terms of agri-processing and agricultural products, that if we are to feed 77,000 soldiers every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, all of the food that we're feeding must come from the local farmers. No food must be transported from the big farms in Gauteng and to KZN and Limpopo just because they're able to produce in mass. The local small farmers and the program with Northwest on that one is doing very well. So we agree. And the involvement of FITAS, the FITAS is a little bit a tough one for us with FITAS, because before they give you money to pay for an instance, you must show that you're going to absorb those interns into your employment. So if, for instance, I said to Sita, give me money, I am training so many military veterans, or we are involved in this kind of training, we should show that we are bringing them in as interns to train, and after they have trained, I'm going to absorb them as the Department of Defense. So you are a little bit in a tricky one there, because as you know, the National Treasury has already said that they are cutting our wage bill by 5,000 over the next 3 years, by 5 billion, which means I have to cut the staff complement by 10,000 of people must leave the Department of Defense in the next. It's something that we are struggling to deal with, and that so it's hard to deal with the speakers when they say yes, bring them in. And then also the reserve force engineer specialist, when you bring them into the Department of Defense, that payment, Honorable Israel, I think I'm now in your question, is that yes, we have noted, yes, we look into it, but we then get a challenge that your wage bill is already cut. And when you call in the reserve force, it goes in as your wage bill. So and now you are going above the ceiling that has been set by National Treasury for your wage bill. So you can only take so many reserves and so many hours that you can utilize. As you know, we do utilize the reserves in the water safeguarding and in peacekeeping operations. So by the time you want the engineers, specialists, and others to come in, you're going to find yourself affected by your wage bill that is now going beyond the ceiling that has been set I want to, General Governor, to talk to the business proposals for sustainability and the employment of more people that the Defense Service Commission are passionate on it, but what projects do we have now in the Defense Service Commission to make sure that we grow the formation and that the people who are now coming into the Defense Service Commission, which is now really employment, because if these people were not in the Defense Service Commission, some of them would be out there unemployed, if you ask me. So what are we doing then to make sure that it is sustainable? The exit mechanism, Defense Service Commission is not the only exit mechanism. Actually, Defense Service Commission can only absorb so many people so many members of the Defense Force, and very soon it's going to plateau itself, and then we'll be coming in to say we have plateaued in the Defense Service Commission, we can't take any more people until those who are in have been rotated out. So we need more programs to deal with our exit mechanism in order to rejuvenate the age profile of our Defense Force,
making it mostly a deployable age profile of the systems. So we are engaged on that program. We have, honorably so, developed an exit mechanism program. We have presented now to the National Treasury. We think National Treasury should be ready to present it to the Mincombat, that is the Minister's Committee on Budget, but in all, and we have indicated the amount of money that is required every year to be, because if you have exit mechanism, when you exit them, you have to give them an exit package. It's simple as all that. You can't tell me to give the Defence Force and then Dr. Kuru will say, okay, no, thank you very much, I'm leaving the Defence Force. No, I'll say why and what is that. How am I going to look after myself? How am I going to survive if you want me to leave my employment? So you have to have an exit mechanism that is sustainable and practical and implementable. So then, that exit mechanism now we've been asked to go and engage with PSA as well as the National Treasury. So the Deputy Director General, National Treasury, Deputy Director General, PSA, Chief HR, DOD, are in the process of engaging. We haven't had the meeting yet, but we must have a meeting before the 15th of October so that we can get a concurrence on our as mechanism, because it remains a big challenge, and I would understand if members of the full committee want to be updated now again, because it's so difficult monitoring that as mechanism, how it's getting implemented. I think that that's how I would cover it, but the others, General Mungira and General Gwaba would cover. We have noted that as part of that exit mechanism, members of the Defence Force do go out and form companies and expect to receive business from government. But exactly because of the economic downturns and the economic constraints of the country, some of them do receive business. Business is not saying nobody does, but the fact of the matter is that it still becomes a challenge out there for businesses to get businesses from government to one or another. The transference of defense and endowment properties from the Department of Public Works to DOD, I would say, frankly speaking, as far as that is concerned, I should not complain about the Department of Public Works. You know me, Honorable Jefferson, I'm the first to complain about Department of Public Works. But when it comes to defense and armament, I should not complain. I have no basis for complaint. The DG, Department of Public Works, and myself have concurred on the defense endowment. We are the custodian of our defense endowment. The only issues that are challenges, and not of the nature of the Department of Public Works, is that where there are contracts, when the Department of Public Works, I will make an example and then Honorable Janet, maybe this will be clear, where you had contracts by the Department of Public Works for maintenance, rebuild, refurbishment, maybe because Waterproof Air Force Base, which is an endowment, or it was one military hospital or others, or maybe two. You're going to find that we have agreed that we have to wait until those contracts either finish or we are able to take over these contracts. Now, the issue of us as DOD taking over a contract from the public works does take time, because sometimes, frankly speaking, some of these contracts, they are, I'm not a legal corporate lawyer, but they are so difficult to interpret exactly what are the deliverables at what cost. We are going to, and we've already paid, by the way, we've already paid the public works. So we have paid public works, refurbishes, and they are running with it. If I try to take it over, I find myself as if now I'm expected to make the payment myself, and I'm scared
you can make this payment, because I don't understand what I'm paying you for here. So I said, okay, no. This one must run for 3 years. I'll look at it after 3 years, after 2 years. So, but the fact of the matter is that all the contracts I have got a finite period. There's no contract that's running forever. So some of them contractors have a contract expire and take over the whole site. But for instance, one meal was so critical. We sat down day in, day out, and back and forth, whereby we literally bulldozed it. And then I said, we are taking over this contract. And General Baba will tell you, and Chief Logistics at that time, they were saying, we can't take over this contract. We don't even know what your paper. I said, I don't care. You just take over this contract. Minister and COD had agreed, 1 year is a priority, take over the contract. Take over. So we've taken over the contract. Taken over the contracts. And contractual agreements are there. Some of them, you want to change them, but you can't change them. Just take them over as they are. That takes 1 year to done. So General Guava has no right to complain about Department of Public Works when it comes to 1 military hospital. It's only this country now, total recalculation, because we have taken over all those contracts. So there are plans then to do the same by defense and government. That's why I say when it comes to defense and government properties, we shouldn't complain about it. But sometimes what you don't see is really what the problem is, that this Yama properties, that is that now are custodian of public parts. They are there, and you might not be easily visible. For instance, if you go to Swarkop Air Force Base, we get to Swarkop, it's totally the Swarkop Air Force Base, the whole facility, very big property, utilized 100% and so forth by the Air Force. That property is not endowment. It's Giyama. So you might come in and say, but what are you doing with the Air Force Swarkop, and things are falling apart, things and inside things. I just take it forever to get where they're supposed to be. There's nothing I can do. That is 100% Giyama. I utilize it. I'm at the Ministry of Public Works. I can only come and complain. That's the only time when I can complain on the property, but not on environment one. And the procurement of material, Chief of Logistics and my procurement Deputy Director General, they know that I always say to them that if you complain about the process in taking too long, it's your process. The PFMA says this, and you then, according to the PFMA, have to do the procurement policies accordingly, making sure that they're aligned to the PFMA, but you are the ones who must do that. That's why when we present our quarterly reports, you're going to find that there's a lot about procurement policy being developed, updated, whatever, because I've really given instruction that our procurement processes now must be updated so that they become more efficient and more practical and more cost effective, and begin to add value to the Department of Defense. You can't tell me that, you know, I had to give it to that company because the PFMA said so. You know, you have to show that it added value to the department. And if the policies are not adding value to the department, then it needs to be changed. And I think we talked about the funding of the Defense Force Works Commission being very critical, and Honorable Koza talking about these DPW committees. I know the frustration. I shit on these committees, but I concur with you. They need to be monitored, these working committees with the public question numbers. They need to be monitored to make sure that they are actually delivering on their performance targets. Thank you very much. And then I'll just hand over to General Madira and Driver to handle those aspects that we referred to.
Thank you very much, General. I'm going to ask you to move fast, as we still have to get to presentations. Time is not on our side.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to support what Sekhar said earlier, especially about the defense was not only in the consumer, but also being able to produce. Because of this, you know, from the idea of the Minister of Defense, that now the directive of the working with the Northwest governments together with the farmers there for the farm project. We have already started having meetings with them to ensure that now we're going to do farming in each and every province. Already some farmers in the Free State, in Popo, as well as in Hay, they've already contacted us, having had this information that we're going to work with them together with the veterans as well as the reserves. So ensure the reserves, the veterans, through this project of farming, they're going to be taken care of in terms of benefiting as well as the Defense Force buying or getting supporting the project itself. That is the intention. And Colonel Kampar Dad, as well as General Salis, both two members, other from the other from logistics, they are the ones who are piloting or running this project. Then coming to this one of the armor depots, it has been a long-standing project that we're supposed to build tight security on these ammo depots, not only because of this incident, but what I discovered after taking over is that similarly, there was no proper budget in terms of addressing those three ammo depots, because that was the fourth one. I've discussed this already with a CFO. We're trying to work on that to get funding. We've already appointed the project manager to ensure that he runs with the project of fencing of those ammo depots and ensure security. In terms of physical security, that will be the responsibility of the services responsible. But on that one also, in terms of this one of Samuelstown, we'll be waiting to get the results of the bottom choir of what actually happened. The others then I'll give to General Lidaba.
Honorable Chairperson, I think most of the questions have been answered. Perhaps I can talk about the Center for Advanced Training. The Secretary has already alluded to that one.
We are utilizing the Center for Advanced Training.
You can't speak without the mic, General.
In terms of the Center for Advanced Training, now we are calling it West Training School. We're actually utilizing it very productively to train our members there. All our courses, management courses and so on facilities, they are being conducted there. So they are being, the institution is being utilized. In terms of the interns, yes, we're training some of the interns, but the challenge is, like the secretary said, having trained them, we cannot absorb them, because we just bring them for practical, and then they go away. Now, maybe let me talk to the one of the business model, and then I'll leave everything. What is it that we are requesting for? I think the starting point should be to capacitate the Defense Force Commission to fund the structure so that it can be able to function. When you talk of challenges of procurement and all those other things, some of the problems which we come across is that you have the whole, I mean, we have designed those codes, but they are not staffed. And then how are we going to be able to carry out those functions? So we are saying that if we are capacitated and we are able to then run and be able to account accordingly, it will be a better way of going forward. But we are also saying that the savings which we made, like the suggested, should be again reutilized for our purposes. So basically, I would like to say that in terms of the funding. Now, where will the funding come from? We are saying that public works is given what we call accommodation charges. Remember, we produce money by people who stay in military accommodation. Those people are paying for staying there. Now, if that money can be utilized for maintenance of the facilities, as it is budgeted for according to public works, because we give all that money to public works so that they can maintain the facilities. Now, the facilities are not maintained. Now, I need to talk to the government property as in ourselves, ours. We also want to make it visible that, remember, we are taking its food stoops. Public works is not endowment property,
and hand it over. So it is going to be, we are dealing it with a deadlock, and therefore we are now dealing with a deadlock as well. But our business proposal addresses a number of issues, including grass cutting, which we say it will fall under landscaping. And some of the things are the people which we say are underutilized. We can use them in all these things, and then you actually address your facilities. Like we said, facilities get zero rates if they are not properly maintained. So we would want to work in that space and make sure that we address that. So thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. Janice?
I was saying on this issue of cleanliness, cleanliness in terms of in the yards of people, those are the responsibility of various cities, so the members who are in the houses. Normally, through history, services or it is in the units, in commanders to have their people, other than the leader himself, to go and inspect the houses where the people stay. They're supposed to ensure that their houses inside and outside are clean. And it is that common control that now needs to be reinforced by ourselves as cities and divisions.
Thank you very much. I think we must move on to the next presentation. Your request and your challenges will be recorded in our minutes for action. And we'll see it when we arrive there. How much time do you need to do presentation for the Honorable Bongo?
Yeah, thank you, sir. I think the issue that the Shed Dev has raised, and I'm sure it's not raising them for the first time, and obviously I requested permission to do XYZ, and I think we may have to try a progressive decision on how to take those issues forward. The issues that I think there are fewer issues are relating to treasury, and the other matter was to progressively deal with the other issue of the generation, that the defense force being a generating income department, because otherwise we are going to, it's going to sound like when it's, those of us who are called clean LPs, starting when it's run, it does one place, just one place, so we may do that the whole 5 years. That is Christ LP, so I think that's my plea.
What's your suggestion?
Maybe we may have to pull a meeting with the treasurer, sir. Pull the meeting with treasurer, and actually public works, so that we are able to clear a lot of other issues that are there. So that the fact that they are not refused things that must come here with the new LP.
Like a broken record.
Yes.
Honorable, if you want to...
Just a comment, Honorable Chair, is that regarding the suppliers and the long lead time, the problem with the procurement of materials, all big business and companies only sign agreements with suppliers. But if I think in the procurement process itself, you have also suppliers that are approved. But if there's an agreement that the supplier is taken for a year or two, and then it's rotated to other suppliers, it will make it much easier if there's an agreement and approved contract or suppliers within the system. Then it means that the department can procure, because they're much easier and don't have to follow the normal tender process. So it's been done in other sectors as well, and in government sector it is the precedent set like that. So it will make the procurement time much shorter, and that you can just simply contact that person, and that person, the company, then pay the supply because they approve for the year or 2 year period. So
thank
just,
you.
Thought, just to cut down on the processes.
Yeah. Thank you very much. All the suggestions will be actioned in our minutes for follow up. We'll definitely do the follow up. How much time do you need to do the two presentations? I want to be able to budget our time.
position of the president.
Okay. Honorable members, do we take all the presentations and come back for discussion? All the presentations. Yeah? Okay. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, let's make sure that we are looking at the presentation that has got 138 slides. Each of them has been 20 minutes. The reason I'm saying that is because in our format of presentations, especially interacting with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, they always say that when you're doing oversight presentation on your reports, focus on the red as well as the amber, where you have problems. Don't keep on talking about where you have green. But having presented here to the portfolio committee, we have been advised by the portfolio committee that we must receive a full presentation, all the greens and the reds and ambers, so that in its oversight, where the portfolio committee can have a better feel in terms of the achievement and the performance of the department. Because if you just do the reds and the ambers, you get an impression that there are only problems in that department. So we have now the full presentation of 138 slides, but of course I'll be focusing on the red and the ambers, but you have the visibility of it. So we can just say it's the fourth quarterly report. My comments on the fourth quarterly report is I would not like to deal much with the fourth quarterly report, because we're going to get another opportunity to discuss when it comes to the annual report. Because if you think about it, the fourth quarterly report, which ended March 2016, you would have then been covering everything you have done in that year. Because if you have not done it in the fourth quarterly report, you are not going to get another chance to do it. So it really forms the basis for the annual report. So on the fourth quarterly report, we are saying that we will deal with it when we in details. Although here I will just highlight it when we are dealing with the annual report, and we are submitting our annual report as the requirement, I think, end of September to Parliament. But we have decided that we submit our annual report to Parliament earlier, maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks earlier than required, so that the members can have a chance to look at the annual report before discussions. On slide number 3 and then 4, 5, we'll deal with the scope of the presentation, the legislative requirements under which this is presented, and slide number 7 summarizes the quarter of the fourth quarter achievements, and as you can see on the next slide, number 8, you are now able to look at the annual performance of the 15-16, because remember, we're dealing with the fourth quarter report. So you would then say that we have 76% of the targets were achieved, and 34% of the targets were not achieved. I think I would have to maybe give an explanation of our measuring tools that has been developed by the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation and therefore conquered by National Center. It is not the best of tools, but it's the best that we have. It is not the best of tools, because if we say to you that 34% of the targets were not achieved, the members are likely to say to Secretary of Defense, you have failed to achieve 34% of the targets. Whereas in this 34% of the targets, if I have achieved 95% of those targets, and not 100, but 95%, it's recorded in our books, in our model evaluation, as not achieved, as failed to achieve. So, in other words, where can we really say that somebody who has achieved 95% pass has failed? Because 95% is a failure. Because all it says is that you didn't achieve the target.
the fact that you achieve 95% of the target does not count. So I would like us just to bear that in mind, that even that 34% does not mean that it was zero achievement. Well, the reasons on page 9 that we would like to draw the attention in terms of that annual performance is that we had a defense review where there were a number of policies that we couldn't adopt and had to wait for the defense review to be approved by Parliament, and the Parliament did indeed approve the defense review in August. And we were also doing the audit of our military judges, which delayed the qualification of military judges, which delayed the appointment of military judges. And also during that year, there were some submissions that remained behind in terms of financial disclosures and performance agreements. But we are happy to report that that problem has now been addressed, which was really related to various management and the footprint of senior managers being deployed inside and outside the country. And we have had challenges in terms of the cyber warfare implementation. And because the cyber warfare implementation then had limited budgets for their implementation. Slide number 10 continues to refer to the number of forced employment hours flown and hours at sea that were not achieved during this year, because first of all, before is on employment basis, so if they did not receive tasking for employment, those hours that were projected in the beginning of the year means that they were not flown. And also other targets that were not achieved related to the appointments that were awaiting the verifications as well as or qualifications and the vetting procedures. There were other targets that were not achieved due to that were out of control of the Department of Defense, such as the international court, the international institutions like the UN, SAARC, AU, will have certain positions for us to fill, and it will be out of our control in terms of processes to fill up those positions. So, slide number 11 introduces the fourth quarter report of financials, which are then reflected in slide number 12. I'll just give you slide number 12 because the details will come in after that. For next year, then 2016, this will also come up, of course, when we give you the annual report as indicated. We were, the budget allocation was 45 billion and 45 billion 88 million and 161,000. Out of that, the expenditure was 45 billion 71 million and 534,000. So the only amount that was not spent was 60 million. That was the amount that was returned to treasury, 16 million. So the percentage of expenditure that we really paid out for that year was 99.96. So that 60 million really is statistically not significant. We can declare that we spent 100% of our budget. But we on slide number 13 we explained 60 million, so I'm not going to spend much time because, as I said, it might have been because of the payments of subscriptors, the sitters, that takes a while. That might have also been because of the under expenditure in terms of forced employment effects, but were not actually carried out. And the slide number 14 gives you the classification for the members to see where we spend 100% of the money that was allocated, and where there was a little bit of under expenditure, where we had to move money from one area to another. So basically that is the expenditure and appropriation statement for the fourth quarter, which really means for that financial year 2016. That's the end of the report for the fourth quarter. rest is now the first quarter of this financial year. As you can see on slide number 16, I give you the summary, and after that I take you through program by program, starting with administration that will be seen. And on slide number 18, that is the performance indicators of the ministry, which were all achieved in the first quarter, that were covered in slide number 18 and slide number 19. Slide number 20 is that of the military ombud, whereby they have reached their target. The covers, military ombud is covered in slide number 20, 21, 22, and then the reserve, the force council is on slide number 23, and then the Defense Force Service Commission is on slide number 24. And when we look at that, the main thing for the first quarter was for them to submit the annual report in line with the national process of which they have done. And for the Office of the Secretary for Defense, the performance indicators and targets are covered in slide number 25. And the main, I think, target for the first quarter that we committed to in terms of our projection was that we submit the defense review milestone number one implementation plan, and this is going to be done in the second quarter. So that defense review at the National Assembly, as it was indicated, was adopted in June 2015, and the National Council of Provinces on June 24th, and I am now working on the implementation plan, and actually as of next week they will be finalizing that implementation plan, meaning that it's being finalized, work in progress, we call it EMBA, as it's going to be finalized in the second quarter. When it comes to the accountability documents like annual performance plan submitted to the executive authority, that target was achieved. And when it comes to the annual report submitted to first starting with the financial statements in the first quarter, that's one of the major milestones, I think, to the Auditor General that was submitted on time. So I would say that the Office of the Secretary of Defense, we didn't experience any major challenges there. Because like this from 28 as well as slide number 29, we have the Government Information Technology Officer, Chito, which we have finally appointed in the Department of Defense, and they have achieved their target. And when it comes to the governance promulgation schedule, we are monitoring the information strategy, which has now been developed and also to be approved. And when it comes to the division of the policy and the planning adherence to DOD governance communication schedule, the policy advice and quality assurance on 25 DOD instruction was provided, and three policies were processed for approval, so the target there has been met in terms of policy and planning. The state restrictions that was planned, as well as the budget reporting, risk management, and performance information training program were conducted for meeting the targets for both the policy and planning, as indicated slide number 32. As slide number 33, I think it reflects in the might be a bit of repetition because it is also their deliverables to ensure that the annual performance, the annual report is presented on time, but the targets there on policy and planning overall have all been achieved. Slide number 36, talk to military police, strategic planning, and the performance indicator. Yes, that is the submission of various accountable documents to the on a quarterly basis, and they have projected their accountability documents that they need to submit, and they have met their target in that regard. In terms of compliance with progress of the establishment of military strategic directions and their register, if their annual target is 48, then the 14% for the first quarter, which have been achieved, will be work in progress for them at the EMBA level. Financial services, except is like 38, that is submission each of various accountability documents in terms of the financial management. For the first quarter, they were all achieved as in terms of the cycle, I think all those in the financial services, and these were covered all the way to slide number 40 and then slide number 41. In slide number 41, the deviation from approved of growing of the schedule, it must be less than 8%, and this deviation was within the target that is noted in that regard. From 42, we begin to look at human resources support services. The indicators there being internship policy status quo, and draft policy was finalized and was submitted for DOD legal services and for the first quarter. And when it comes to the other governance promulgation, was the human resource strategy status, that is both the development as well as the implementation of the human resource strategy status. We are just highlighting here that in the annual performance plan of this year, 2016, this indicator was not properly captured because it was captured as a percentage adherence to the governance obligation instead of schedule, instead of development of the strategy. The human resource targets highlighted on page 44, the ethics policy submitted to DOD legal services that has been achieved, and other targets relating to financial disclosures, they've also been achieved. I think I have indicated that in the fourth quarter we had a challenge. Now I'm coming to the first quarter. If you look at the first quarter, although we said we sort of put this as a priority, so I'm happy to report that now I can report to the portfolio committee that all SMS in the Department of Defense have now submitted their financial disclosures. They are supposed to have submitted by the 30th of September, but we come to everybody because of difficulties we had last year. Now I can report to this portfolio committee that we have 100% submission of all senior management systems managers of their financial disclosures. And then the performance agreement, we are EMBA then, but we still have time because by end of September we should submit all of them, and we hope that they will also be 100% on the performance agreements as well for the target, when the deadline comes. the disciplinary cases finalized within 90 days. We are struggling that. We would have liked to have finalized maybe 24 within, but only one was finalized. The challenge there is that when you have to finalize the disciplinary cases, you have to depend most of the time on the panels that you set. Some of the panels, they require independent panels, people outside the department to sit on those disciplinary cases. And sometimes, after you have issued an award, you call them an award or a judgment on a disciplinary case, then the member involved starts instituting appeals. So that case is not regarded as finalized until the appeal process, which can take longer than that process, through the appeals court and all the way through the Secretary for Defense to the minister, which might end up taking more than 30 days. So that's the challenge that we sometimes face. Still looking at the human resource indicators and targets, as highlighted in slide number 48, the collective grievances disputes the target there was 25% of all the collective disputes. I think having achieved for that quarter, we say that the target was achieved, having settled one out of four of those collective grievances for that quarter. And going to compliance with DOD training targets, on slide number 49, 13% of the target was achieved during the first quarter. We would have, I think, would like to see the 25. And the percentage compliance with the planned staffing of funded costs, that are in slide 50, there was 96% achievement of that target. And the next slide on number of posts filled against allocated quota for international institutions was indicated when we talk about the fourth quarter. The target here is being recorded as having achieved since 12 of those posts that became available were filled, that is 100% of the posts that were available. The compliance now with the non-combat, we train, but for non-combat professional military development, the target was achieved in that regard, as well as a reskilling target of 18% for the 18% for the first quarter, which is on target, that is where you get it across the whole year. Still on the human resource support services, for the National Youth Service, the target there was achieved for that quarter. And the number of military skills development members in system, they have had the projection, and the projection for the whole year, is, I think, as we'll look at it, the number has not been reduced. Yes, we need 8,000 to 10,000. Now we have the target for the whole year is 4,000, and we did get an intake of close to 4,000 in terms of the progress for the first quarter, that is for that beginning of that financial year. The number of reserve force person days, we record this as being on target for the first quarter, because for the whole year.
Chairperson, if I may, I just want to know, and there's quite a number of slides that we're going through, there's many of these slides where there's no target. So in other words, you cannot compare whether...
The target is on the annual, as we have mentioned. We look at the annual target, so on a quarterly basis, we use the projections that National Treasury uses. So the first quarter must be 25%.
Yes, so yeah. Some of them are not, and you haven't highlighted them as great.
The target, annual target is I think what we do is we measure the you look at the annual target and then we look at the quarter target, but at least should be in the first quarter we should have achieved 25%. And then the coloring of it, I don't know, the ones that I had, I think the ones that I had, the, it is not covered. I think I must have been some, my team might have let me down there, but usually it is not colored to screen, but this is not, it's supposed to be colored. And let me, when they did the slides, where they were talking to the embers, that other presentation, they put all the slides and the coloring. I agree that not all of them are colored, but I'm able to say achieved or not achieved based on the quarter one and annual target. Some of them are colored, some of them not colored. I think the team that prepared this guys must take that into account. I apologize for my members. I was looking at slide number 56, the number of reserve calls person day, the target there is achieved. And then on slide number 57, the litigation cases that are reserved, that are finalized, these are now in the legal services environment. I think the members remember that we had been struggling about the litigation cases that were defendants are being resolved in favor of the department, and most of this because really this is not the really because some of it is out of our control of the Department of Defense, because it really rests with the state attorney's offices, and because of the experiences and the trends that we have had over the years, we had put our target at 15. The members remember we started at 25, now we increased it to 50. But for this first quarter, we are happy to report that at least for the first quarter, 100% of the cases were resolved in favor of the department. So the target there is achieved, it's supposed to be green. And then when you look at also the legal cases, percentage of cases of corruption and fraud prosecuted, this is because, again, it is out of our control. It really rests with the prosecutors, and from previous experiences and the challenges that we have had, we have put the target at 40%, and for this target, we had, I think it would have been important then to see where are the, where we have presented. We didn't present any cases for the impression to the prosecutors. When it comes to the, also within the legal services, the extra record cases that are outstanding, our aim is that we should reduce it by 60%. And we, for this quarter, we almost back, when we look at the backlog, for this quarter, they were reduced by 9%, which will be, instead of having reduced the, I think it is still on target if we multiply 9 by, well, maybe we have to divide it and look at the 25% of that one in terms of the target that we should have achieved, 25% of 60. And the military records finalized, we would like to see by the end of the year 40%, and for this quarter we finalized 8%, so instead of 10%. And then when the percentage of disciplinary cases on slide number 61 in the DOD finalized within 90 cases, I think as we indicated in the other fourth quarter, we do have a challenge on the cases that we'd like to see. We would like 100% of cases, so this one is red, because only 4% of cases were finalized during the quarter within 90 days. Slide number 62, where I am now, looking at the internal audit divisions, the recommendations of the internal audit that have been agreed and implemented by the management. We would like to have them 6% only, 69%, so that's recorded as red. And when it comes to the number of slide 63, coordination meetings, interactions by the internal divisions, it's amber.
because they have like to have three such meetings. They only had two, and slide 64 in terms of procedures of corruption and ordinances that were detected for investigation. There were 10 incidents that were detected and they were all investigated, so it's recorded as being 100%. And the percentage of national anti-corruption hotline incidents that were detected in the national now anti-corruption hotlines that were sent for investigation, there were 2 incidents and they were all sent for investigation, so that's green as 100%. And number of awareness activities on corruption and fraud, for the year we're looking at 48, so 12 for the quarter is recorded as achieved green. And the morale, that one is ongoing, whereby the Inspector General would like with the Human Science Research Council to look at the morale within the DOD. Slide 68, we are now beginning to look at the acquisition services on the intangible capital asset policy status. The intangible capital assets policy has been submitted to the board for recommendation. Now being developed, I think that can be recorded as AMBA, because it's supposed to have been at least for that first quarter to have been approved, but it's been developed in the process of being approved. Skill acquisition services for slide 69, percentage armament acquisition commitments approved. In this particular case, you will find that there will be acquisition services will receive the commitments and that that require approval. If we have, our target is that by the end of the year we should have at least approved 75%. And in this particular case, for all that received during the quarter was 67, so that should be recorded as green having achieved. And within the acquisition, also the percentage technology development commitments, we would like to see 85% of those commitments at least approved, and the total of 82 before the year is over, I think is achieved. I mean, for the first part, is seen as in green. The status of the public opinion, now I'm looking at slide 71, which is communication services. Communication services, we've been working with the Human Science Research Council again to look at public opinion in terms of thinking about the DOD. We would like to have 77% of the public opinion at least being approved. We are waiting for the Human Science Research Council to conduct that public opinion. For command and control, the strategic activities there really refers to the chief of services, chief of services in terms of their strategic interaction with the various international bodies like the AU, UN, and SADC, and they have achieved and each actually gone one extra because of one of the unscheduled visits. The religious services has indicated here where it's required to interact with covenantal relationships, I mean religious stakeholders. In other words, if you take into account that the members of the Defense Force come from all religious communities in South Africa, whether it's Christians, Jewish, Hindus, and Muslim communities, you would then require your religious services to interact with other organs of faith, and they had targeted to interact with two organs of faith, and they interacted only with one during the year. Hopefully they'll cover up during the rest of the year for that. And the Reserve Force, Defense Reserve Force direction, the number of marketing events that they wanted to have was 9, they have one additional extra and done 10. The Defense Force attaches that we have on slide number 75, they are on target and they agree. And then slide number 76, the Defense International Affairs promulgation of policy, they are required to revise their international I mean compliant with the existing defense diplomacy international policies and require that there is total compliance so far. And then slide number 77, this international affairs policy document that they need to develop that aligns to the defense review and in consultation process with that promulgation. They would record a screen because they are still within the target if they have promulgated before the end of the financial year. And also in the International Affairs Division, percentage of deployments, including training exercises, were applicable that were supported with appropriate legal instruments. They have developed the legal instruments each time when there is international affairs deployment, and they have done so 100% of the time for the first quarter. Honorable Chairperson, we now move into the second program, which is also employment, starting with slide number 80, where they indicate there's a number of product commitments. Number of product commitments were all met, 100%, they're green. Post employment, number of landward subunits deployed on the border. The 15 companies deployed, but as we say, we always ask them, Portfolio Committee, to take note that our commitment is to deploy 15 because that's the budget that we have. But the required number of units that needs to be deployed in terms of our strategic plan, we know that to ensure that the borders are effectively defended, we require 22 subunits. We can only afford 15, and we have put a target on 15, and we've deployed 15 for that for this financial year, and the first quarter will remain 15. For the post employment, also compliance with the number of ordered commitments. Now these are internal operations; all of them are green because we have complied with all the internal. We've allowed all the internal ordered commitments to be deployed, and. On slide 83, compliance with a number of continuation of the internal operations in terms of disaster and disaster relief. We have complied. We are green with all of them. And on slide number 84, we are looking at compliance with a number of water commitments continuing in terms of search and rescue. They were all complied with. And in terms of the standby force commitment, to SADC, they all complied with as well. And in terms of the border safeguarding, members would know that we are now in the process of establishing the BMA Border Management Authority, and we are supposed to develop the sub-strategy. And the sub-strategy is in the process of being deployed. I mean, have been developed and adopted, hopefully before the end of the year, so that first quarter is still on target. And number of joint intergovernmental and interagency multinational military exercises that were conducted, there was a projection or a plan to have one such military exercise, because it's a map, but it was not conducted during the first quarter, although we should know that this did take place in the fourth quarter instead of the first quarter. So it was supposed to have been replaced by another exercise, which is exercise in Globo, which will be conducted in the second quarter instead. Going to landward defense, starting on slide number 89, with a number of ordered commitments for military assistance internationally. Whatever commitments that were ordered were implemented, so the plan is green. And also, when it comes to the training targets for the landward defense, they reached and actually overachieved in their quarterly target for this first quarter. For the air defense, starting on slide number 92, the employment hours long per year. If you look at the annual target and the first quarter, you would agree that they have achieved. about 1,000 hours that were flown for the post employment, 921,000, and for the VIP flying hours, about 118,000. But the percentage compliance with the training in the air defense, they are green. I mean, they are red because they did not reach their target. Because for the Air Force, the energy intake that was scheduled was cancelled, so it should be taking place now. The reason it was cancelled is because over and above the non-commissioned officers' development courses were presented instead, so they did not. They presented the ENSO development course instead of the MSD course, that's why they were red. On the maritime defense, slide number 95, we'll be looking at the hours at sea. For the first quarter, they achieved hours at sea that they projected. And for the training targets, they targeted 245 for the first quarter. They are red because they inform us that the training did take place, but we still await finalization of the maritime training regime, 1 and 3 land opportunities, meaning that they need to examine those people who have been trained, making sure that they reach their required stages, so they should be able to go back on target by the time they get into the second quarter, once they've done that maritime training regime. For the military health support program, which then gets highlighted on slide number 98, the number of cases that they were planning, that they projected to see for the whole year is about 2 million, and for the first quarter they saw 542, and this is projected on the trends that they have seen. And because of the refurbishment that's going on at one military hospital and the shortage of healthcare practitioners, and sometimes they end up engaging on outsourcing of these health-related activities to complete those cases that need attention by the military health services. In terms of their training targets, military health services, they achieved their target actually. They had to overachieve because of the backlogs that were remaining that they had to cover during the first quarter. The defense intelligence is on program number, this is our program number 7, starting on slide number 101. They had oral commitments. Don't ask me what were those oral commitments, just accept my declaration that they were achieved. And the percentage of compliance with the policy, it was a cyber warfare strategy that they need to develop in accordance to the JCPS strategy, cyber security strategy. And they're in the process of developing that cyber warfare strategy. In terms of governance formalization, they are expected to develop a sense strategy as per slide number 103, and that sense of strategy was developed, so their target has been achieved. And the overall, the defense intelligence, number of defense intelligence products that they wanted to conduct, that they projected to conduct, as you can see, quarter by quarter, for the first quarter, their target was to produce about 112. They produced more than 112. That overachievement on the defense intelligence products that they produced was attributed to the security situation on the African continent due to increased intelligence requirements during that first quarter of the year. In terms of vetting decisions, according to the requirement, they had planned to do 1,725. They only did 800 because of the inadequate staff challenges that they have. And on slide number 106, we're looking at the level of implementation of the federal offer plan, and they are happy with the implementation of that federal offer plan that they have currently have. They say it is in progress. Slide number 108 looks at the logistics services, starting first with the adherence to the government's promulgation, where the target was to develop procurement duty, procurement policy. As we have indicated, this needs to be revised in order to be keeping with the current situation as well as a defense review. And they have not yet submitted that revised procurement policy, so they are in that regard. And adherence to overarching logistic strategy, that overarching logistic strategy will also be nearly over, because they still have a year to complete that overarching logistic strategy. The procurement, still on the logistic services on slide number 10, the percentage procurement request, ensuring that it is fully completed within 90 days from the day of registration. And they are highlighting the fact that the whatever request that they have for procurement they have received within the first quarter is green, because none of them have gone beyond 90 days during this first quarter. And the utilization of the environment property in the DOD, their target for the year is 90%, so right now they're operating at 96%, which is regarded as green in terms of utilization of the environment properties by the DOD. Now, coming to the CMIS, that is Command and Management Information System, the slide number 112, we are looking at the percentage of modernized and sustainable ICT integrated time system. They would have liked to have ensured that at least to be ensured when they are evaluating all of the system, making sure that they are all integrated, all integrated capabilities, to at least have 92% by the end of the financial year. So the first quarter should have been 25, and they are now at 23, because they are late, because the reason being that the service provider should not deliver the ICT, the ICT capability must in accordance with the projected plan. This was mostly related to the information warfare assistance program that requirements that were not completed. And come now to the military police on slide 130. We're looking at the indicator of the number of deliberate crime prevention operations. They had planned to do 31, so they have been able to achieve that target, so they did 44. And then when it comes to the criminal cases that have been investigated, the target was 10. For this quarter, they did 24. They were able to do more than what was required. And they explained that the Provost Marshal and Head of the Investigation managed to refer more criminal cases to civilian courts in the absence of appointed judges for trial and decision, which resulted in more old cases dockets being investigated and finalized. The military police capability percentage of criminal cases that were investigated during the year, they would like to ensure that more than 50% of the cases are investigated throughout the year. And during this period, for the first quarter, 22% of them were investigated, which would have been recorded as amber. And the percentage of cases of corruption and fraud investigated, they
recording that it has to be 100% of on the time. That is 100% of all cases of harassment and fraud must be investigated, and that target was reached for that financial year. Slides 117, we are just looking at the overall achievement for your summary, and slide 119, now we begin to look at your expenses for this quarter. When you look at it, the percentage expenditure that was paid out is 23%, and the planned expenditure for the first quarter was 22.1%. And the reason being that, of course, the first quarter you always have to deal with the period of the end of the year financial statements, holding on in terms of payments for the month of March and for the month of April, while you are adjusting your allocation. So we have 22% allocation for the first quarter, but we were able to target, so we were clean as far as expenditure for the first quarter. We then break it down for the program by program.
We stop it there now.
And then I think the rest of the slides will highlight the expenditure for that. And after that, when it comes to slide number 128, we come to discuss with you milestone implementation. These are there for the members' noting. So the members can note that we are beginning to implement milestones of the defense review that don't require additional budget. And if you want to know which indicators of performance are we doing in the implementation of them, what are we doing in terms of implementation of the defense review? You will then see them in slide number 128, 136, 136.
You don't have to worry about it. That one, it was still a program of the special spending committee. You basically see that you combine in terms of expenditure this quarter, in terms of percentage. That's what we want to know. Honorable members, the presentation was a little bit longer than 20 minutes. I didn't want to deny you. Of we are left with 30 minutes to wrap up our meeting. So I didn't want to deny you of the presentation. Also, I don't want you to deny you of comments. Let us make comments in that 30 minutes. If there are questions that cannot be answered, we'll have written answers to those questions. Over to you, Honorable Members, Honorable Murray, Honorable Nisi, in that order.
Chairperson, just personal observation from my side. I must admit it is incredibly difficult to interpret reports like we've had now. These things, it's just percentages in most of the cases, and it doesn't mean a lot if it hasn't been qualified. So we don't know about numbers. In some cases, it seems like the yearly total has been divided by four, and in some cases not. Percentages in some cases, in other cases not. So it's incredibly difficult. If we have got so little time for a huge report like this, I didn't really get value out of this. If we had this well in time and we could have studied it and prepare ourselves, but for a large one like this, it's very frustrating. But be that as it may, I just want to ask you just a few questions. The first one is you have referred to legal services and you've referred to disciplinary cases. And in the last, the fourth quarter report, you've referred to military judges not being appointed. What is the progress in that regard, and to what extent has that contributed to those good performance with regards to legal services and disciplinary cases and court cases being dismissed? And secondly, in that one, I think it's slide 63, you've referred to inspection and audit services, where in the comment there's a reason being given you haven't mentioned it, but we've read that meeting between IAD and Audit General discussing issues surrounding SDA, Special Defense Account. You can give us more information with regards to that one. Then, in terms of your maritime defense, numbers of hours at sea, you've said that you've met the target, but I mean, that's not a quarter of 12,000. So, I mean, 1,800 should have been, and a quarter of that is 3,000. So it's quite far off. So in many cases, that should have been read, in my opinion, but there's no color. And eventually at the end, you've got a summary of all the colors. And I'm not quite sure whether the two are representative of each other. It's very frustrating. I've got a lot more questions, but I mean, time is not permitting us. My request is, if we work with a new support like this, then we cannot do it in the way that we've done it. It's meaningless to a large extent because there's no qualifications. Of just percentages.
Thank you very much, Honorable Marie. Honorable Munisi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. Firstly, Chairperson, I think the department should be commended for implementing the various cost-cutting measures. Spending on non-core goods and services was reduced. So we really commend the department for that. And so the department spending was largely on track throughout the 2015-16 financial year. But there is a concern, Chairperson, regarding the vacancies of critical skills. The vacancy rate for critical skills remains high at 22.5% by the end of the fourth quarter. So those critical skills like engineering, aircrew, nursing, and technical skills remain critically short. So if the department can give explanation on that. Then, Chairperson, on the spending for 2016-17, most of the programs are generally on track with plan spending. Then, Chair, the command and management information system program had high spending. As the committee, we had presentation and recent engagement with FIFA. So I would like to check Chairperson from the department how much money was spent on FITA in program 8 and what services were rendered by FITA. Then my last question will be on the 2015-16 department spending was successful in curtailing expenditure on non-core items. But Chair, there are concerns around high spending on advertising, consultants, and agency support services. I think that should be addressed by the department. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Steph.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask the CFO to look at the sending of seed and projects that are in program and see whether he's able to come up with the exact answer. If not, then maybe we'll answer in IT. I must apologize if maybe the Honorable Murray didn't find the presentation adding value in terms of information sharing. We will try then and see how we do it in for the second quarter so that we can be visibly clear where we are
achieving and where the color and also the color coding so that it is clearly demarcated. The reason is that we had done it for the on the electronic vision. So if we had the one of the chapters and the projection, there was a slight presentation that was prepared especially to come up on the projection with the coloring. But when we went into, because the technology failed us, and we went into the hard copy, then we lost that value add on our presentation. But definitely, the team is all here, and they will make sure that they don't embarrass the certain 45 next time to present the box that doesn't add value. No one wants to do that. We will make sure that we take into account next time. Then I will then go ahead, as General Masane will talk about the military charges a little bit in terms of the audit done and the appointments, how far we are, and whether it has had any impact. But just to assure the members of the audit in terms of the cases that have been referred, whether it's cases of labor relations or cases of fraud and corruption. But as a point of defense, we do have the internal control measures, including the whistleblowing systems, but also the reporting structures of cases of discipline or cases of labor relations or cases of fraud and corruption. And we have the military police who will then investigate the cases. We have the IG, Inspector General, that has full capacity to look at issues of compliance, both the Defense Act and PFNA, and we have also the internal audit. In addition to that, we have defense intelligence capabilities. Defense intelligence capabilities do look internally also in terms of investigation of matters internally that might be associated with misconduct, whether it's financial misconduct, fraud, corruption, and others. So we can assure the members that we do investigate cases of misconduct and non-compliance and do take action against those who are found to be to have acted in a non-compliant manner regarding various laws and regulations. Now, when it comes to the SDA, yes, we are engaged with the Auditor General as well as the National Treasury. The National Treasury has indicated, they have been indicating that we need to look into the legislation of the special defense account, and that's what we are meaning. That's what we mean. The special defense account is legislated as a special defense account according to the legislation, and that we need to keep that because they believe that the special defense account is not an entity, it's a standalone entity on its own. So they would not like to be treated as a standalone entity. Simply put, they are not happy with that. The provisions that are provided in the Special Defense Account Act. We need to be looking into that, considering them, and CFO is leading that process of engagement with them. And I agree that maybe on the hours at sea, maybe they should be read if translated directly to the target for the year. But I think Jeremy Ramazana might like to speak to that as well. Thanks very much, and from Honorable Member and Municipal for highlighting and commending us on the various activities that we take on as part of our cost-cutting measures and ensuring that we don't spend on the number. We will continue to do that, to make sure that whatever budget allocated to the Department of Defense is spent economically, efficiently, effectively, and add value to the work of the Department of Defense. The vacancies rate, yes, I concur. It was a bit high for the year. Most of it was because of our processes that were still in the process of establishing the internal audit. I think most of the work has been done in that regard. But also the time it takes sometimes to do the
verifications of qualifications, criminal checks, as well as the vetting processes. But we are committed to ensuring that we reduce the vacancy rate in the Department of Defense. The high spending that might be captured maybe as being in advertising and also consultancy, we just have a little bit of a disadvantage that the work that is done by the service providers for repairs of our ships and naval vessels, for the repairs of our aircrafts, and for the repairs of our vehicles, landward vehicles, they are all captured as consultancies in terms of our goods and services, because it is said that we are consulting our vendors to come and maintain our vehicles. But of course, that capability does not lie within the Department of Defense. It has to be done by outside. So it has, and it, I think it's a little bit a misnomer maybe, or not a true representation of merely the consultancy fee, as we would know as a consultancy to come and give advice for others, because they come in and repair our vehicles. And also on the advertising, I think we look into it. We do have an instruction, I would say maybe an expectation from the commander-in-chief, but also from the authorities. That is to say, our people need to know what the Department of Defense is doing. That if we are to be able to have the value add of the Department of Defense be appreciated, people need to know what is this Department of Defense. In so much money of our tech money is $45 billion a year is being spent on defense, and people don't know why do we need the Department of Defense when the country is not at war with anybody. Then eventually we will end up losing the value even of all the Department of Defense, simply because people don't know about it. So it's almost like saying, if it is not documented, it is not done. And some of the advertising is really our way of documenting what we do as Department of Defense. Would you take it from there?
Yes.
Have only 13 minutes. 13:13.
Thank you, Chairperson. In fact, I will take about 2 minutes. The spending, the honorable member is quite correct. If you look to the spending of the department, the one that the program that is much suffering is the program 8, which is the general support, where the CMIS is spent. I only want to give the exact number to the honorable member right now. I would plead that probably if we can respond in writing for the exact amount that we spend them on CEDA. Because, Chairperson, we got a lot of service level agreements. I need to be specific on the one that we spend so much. Chairperson, the other thing I want to dwell with is in terms of what you said that was alluded to, in terms of the FDA. Because in the front of the Auditor General, as well as some of the Treasury members, they think that it's just easy just to get rid of the FDA without looking to our environment, the Department of Defense. Department of Defense, if you look at it in the environment, when we start the process of procuring, you'll find that the project might take about 5 to 10 years from now. Now, that amount, that legislation is allowed to roll over for those particular projects. Now, if we don't have, if you look to the GDA itself, it does not allow for the rollover. It means by the project, when it continues, we might lose those funds. So, either of which, it might be difficult for the Department of Defense to operate the way to suit its operation. Those are the challenges that we are facing. And as of now, Treasury is starting to see what is actually happening.
after we engage on this one. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I don't want us to enter the second quarter with the baggage. There should be no comebacks. The honorable members might be having more questions. Now, what I would suggest that is that all honorable members who have more questions on this first quarter briefing, please submit the written questions, and then so that they should be held with in this this quarter, so that when we go to the next quarter, we must concentrate on the second quarter. I'm not sure as to if acceptable. Thank you. Thank you very much. Then we have come to the end of our meeting. The meeting is adjourned.